Amen. Amen. Let's go to our launching pad. John 3:16. We'll read 3:16 and 17. First, why don't you just shout out a praise for the release of Kim Davis? Hallelujah. How about a thank you, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We don't want to take those things lightly. Amen. Amen. And let's shout out a praise of thanks for all of the believers who are going to take their stand for God and for living a godly life, not focusing on any potential consequences, but they're going to do what's right in the sight of God, period. Amen. Those are the type of folks I want to hang out with. How about you? John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Last week we talked about, you know, that there were some fundamentals to living a successful life in Christ, and those fundamentals cannot be ignored. And the basic fundamental was found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, which says, for we walk by faith and, that's right, we walk by faith and not by sight. Easy to read version says, we live by what we believe will happen, not by what we can see. The Message Bible said, it's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. And the New Life version says, our life is lived by faith. We do not live by what we see in front of us. Okay, and one of the thoughts that I had today, because I was thinking about this, because I always like to know what journey the Lord is going to take us. And, you know, and the question came up in my mind, when do we walk by faith? And, you know, it's a snap answer. Well, you get indignant look on face. Well, all the time. You know, we always walk by faith. And it was like, oh, do you? And I said, well, sometimes I walk by faith, you know. And what I heard was that believers know and they've heard that they're supposed to walk by faith, but what they don't understand is the immediacy of it. And the immediacy is not usually a word that we associate with faith, but we should, because if we live by faith, we shouldn't have to wait for faith to kick in. I have a question. How many of you need to flip a switch for your heart to start beating? Okay, just checking. Anyone have to flip a switch for your lungs to start working? No, they work all of the, that's how you live. Well, if we live by faith, our faith should be active all the time. Why do you have to activate something that's active? If it's active, it does not need to be activated. But too many times we'll say, you know, turn on that switch of faith. You know, turn it on. And the question that God is asking is, why isn't it on? Since we're a people who said that we walk by faith, how can we walk if we don't have our faith turned on? The Living Bible says concerning the three Hebrew boys, they said, if we're thrown into the fiery furnace, our God is able to deliver us, and he will. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to start saying, you know, should we, is this the time for us to go by faith, or what do we? No, they were presented with a situation, and immediately faith-filled words erupted out of them because it was there and it was already active. So we need to understand that there is an immediacy that has to come. I got to share this with you. I love the way the Message Bible says they responded. They say, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up. I like that. See, they didn't have to conjure up anything. It was there. And they did not care about the reputation of the king or what he was capable of doing. It meant nothing to them because their minds were filled with what God had said. And they had already purposed that come what may, they are not backing away from what God has said. In John 2, like Deacon Bill, Elder Bill, I'm going somewhere with this. At John 2, why don't you turn there? This is the wedding in Cana. And Jesus' mother told him that, you know, they were out of wine. He was like, why are you telling me? You know, he was nice. He didn't say, do I look like a liquor store? You know, no, he didn't say that. Okay. But what he did say, he told the people, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And they saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, they knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. You know, they get rid of everything that's, you know, they've had for a while. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of the Galilee. Well, for his first miracle, Jesus turned approximately 162 gallons of water into wine without even thinking about it. He didn't have to stop and think, okay, I know I'm the Son of God, and I have all this power. God said he gave me all this power. I think I can do this. He didn't say that. And he didn't say, you know, let's start out with just a basin. Let's just do one firkin is fine. Let's just do that, just a little quarter of a barrel of wine. Then if that works, then we'll just work ourselves up to all these water pots. I mean, this is a whole lot of water that I'm supposed to turn into wine here. You know, no, he didn't think that. He knew who he was. He always acted like he knew who he was. And so all the faith that he needed to accomplish that was already at work in him. So all he had to do was, and he never said, water become wine. All he said was, fill the pots with water. And as soon as they were filled, he said, now draw it out. That's all he said. And it was wine. Why? He had faith that was active, faith that was immediate. I want to back up and give you a definition. I'm going to give you the definitions first, and then I'm going to tell you the word. At the present time or moment, without further delay, immediately, at once, in these present times, under the present or existing circumstance, under the present or existing circumstance. My finger deleted part of the word. I don't know what it is. What do you think that those definitions define? What word? Now. Now. Now means at the present time. Without further delay. Immediately. At once. Under the present or existing circumstances. See, Pastor Clinton taught us that a multifaceted diamond, you know, when light hits it, no matter how you turn it, you see something different. Well, I'm going to present something to you under that same, in that same vein. Turn to Hebrews 11, please. And let's read verse 1 together. Are you there? Let's read it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New Life Version says, now faith is being sure we will get what we hope for. It is being sure of what we cannot see. The New International Version says, now faith is confidence. Holman's Christian Standard says, now faith is the reality of what it's hoped for. Now I'm going to read these scriptures, but I'm going to use some of the definitions of the word now. Okay? At the present time or moment, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without further delay, immediately and at once, faith is being sure we will get what we hope for. In these present times, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And under the present or existing circumstances, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. See, now faith, that's what I want you to focus on, now faith. Now. Now faith, it means your faith is ready and active and can handle anything or any circumstances that faces you right now. Right at this moment, right in these present times, and can do so without delay. Now faith. Right now faith. You shouldn't have to wait and get it to work and get it, try and get yourself built up. It needs to be there. It needs to be there. I know that we can strengthen our faith, but you can't strengthen something that's not already there. it needs to be there. It needs to be active so you can strengthen it. I mean, I have legs. I can walk around. I'll do things to strengthen my legs, but if I don't have any legs, I have nothing there to strengthen. We need to understand that we should operate in now faith, right now faith. No matter what comes, your faith is already active, already up to the task. If we don't, we have to get to that place so we stop being thrown by all these different things that come. We're taken by surprise. We're taken aback. We have to regroup. Why? Jesus never had to regroup. Never. Why? He was always operating in who he will, in who he is. Always. He was sure of it. Very sure. We shouldn't have to say, I guess I need to use my faith. We shouldn't have to say that. It should. If we're truly walking by faith and not by sight, then our faith is always present. And like I said earlier, and it doesn't need to be activated. It's already on. It's already working. See, when the word says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it doesn't say faith will become the substance. It says now faith is the substance. See, that suggests immediacy. Yeah, think about that. You know, you have to think about it in that light. It's immediate. And immediacy means, listen to this, immediate presence of an object of knowledge to the mind without any distortions, interference, or interpretations, and without involvement of any intermediate agencies. It means you don't need any outside help for it. Okay? Now faith should be an immediate presence of what God has promised in our minds without any distortions, without any interferences, without any interpretations, and without any outside help. That's why Proverbs 3:5 encourages us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to what? That's right. Other translations say don't depend on your own knowledge. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Never rely on what you think you know. And never depend on your own ideas and inventions. Why? Because God knew that would supersede your faith. Because you'd be you're too busy thinking about what you know about a particular situation. And once you do that, your faith goes from being immediate to being conditional. And too many of us are walking around with conditional faith and not immediate faith. In Acts 9, I said, Lord, this is an interesting account of faith. But then as I was reading it and he was showing me things, I saw it. This is about the conversion of Saul. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, you know, he found any members of the church, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou hast persecuted. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If you look that up, it means it's hard to go against divine influence. And listen to this next verse. And he, meaning Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now think about that. He didn't question whether or not he was really talking to Jesus. He didn't say, are you really Jesus? Come on, stop playing. You know, but see, Saul heard the stories. He heard the stories. He just didn't believe them. And the reason he didn't believe them was because his whole life was spent being taught the law. I think he was taught by Gamaliel, okay? And his entire life. But at that moment, that encounter that he had with Jesus caused faith to immediately come. Immediately. And when it came, well, let's continue. And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. That means he was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now think about that. Why was he on his way to Damascus? Okay. And so now on the way there, he has an encounter, and now he's blind. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know who's with him. And they're taking him into the city that's filled with the people he was going there to persecute. What's going through his head? Nothing. Nothing. Because he believed that he had a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. So he just went. He went from being a vicious leader to someone totally dependent. Why? Because he had an encounter and faith grew. Immediately, faith grew. He didn't say, well, you know, let me think about this for a few days. Is this really Jesus? No, faith just rose up. He was there 3 days without sight, didn't eat or drink, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now, who said this to him in a vision? Okay, did he know it was the Lord? Okay, and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." See, Ananias was lacking now faith. He was lacking later faith. Okay. Because he was too busy leaning to his own understanding of what this man used to do. Too many of us get caught up in our past or in the past of others, and we allow that to affect our faith. We're too busy focusing on what someone has done, and we're not focusing on what God is doing right now. Right now, we know what God has promised. We know that, but we allow it to become distorted by our understanding of someone's previous actions or our understanding of what has happened to us. Or we feel, for whatever reason, we're not worthy. Doesn't matter that God said we are, but because we feel like we're not, because we know what we've done, we start thinking about that and turn off our faith. Actually, it doesn't get turned off. It gets rerouted. And we find ourselves walking by sight, not by faith. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from Saul's eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. See, fortunately, the Lord caused some faith to grow in Ananias, where he got to the place where he was willing to just believe what Jesus said and act on it. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's about now faith says, "I believe what Jesus said, and I'm acting on it." That's what now faith does. It ignores past actions and only focused on what God has promised you right now. See, we get too caught up, stuck on what's going to happen next week, that we don't have faith to get to next week. We're wondering how we're going to, you're worried about next week. Just do what God has for you today. Trust him today. Trust him that everything that you encounter today, he's got it covered. Today, right now. Wherever you find yourself, your faith has to be there. You can't afford to have to wait for it. And you definitely want to stop going with what you think you know. How many of you know everything there is to know? So you mean there's not one person in here that knows absolutely everything that possibly you can ever know? So how can we make choices based on what we know? Because no matter how sure we are, there's something that we don't know. And we don't know if that's going to be the critical part of this whole equation. We just don't know. But yet and still, we'll put our entire lives on a brain that doesn't know. What have we said to our children when they went and did things and didn't know? We'd look in the mirror and say them to us, because we're just as guilty. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So it doesn't matter what you were. It only matters who you are right now. Right now. Do you have the faith in place to get past this moment? That's what now faith is. Do you have the substance to get through this moment, this day, this season? That's what it's talking about. It's not for something way, way off. Because if you don't get a hold of it, you might not be here to get way off. You need now faith to get through whatever you're going through when? Now. Right now. Again, I said, say now faith. Ignores past actions and only focuses on what God has promised for right now. See, Saul had to put aside how he used to handle things and the type of person he used to be. He had to put it aside and trust that Jesus that he met was the real deal. Ananias had to get past all the stories he's been told of all the despicable things that Saul did to Christians. Or I should say had done to Christians. He had to get past it to develop the faith to go and face Saul, not to kill him, to help him get life. Lay his hands on him so he can see. So that he's in a condition where God can teach him all that he had to suffer, because God called him a chosen vessel. How many of us would have called him a chosen vessel at that time? See, I would have. I would have. You were a chosen vessel to be disposed of. Based on what you did, I knew some of those people. I mean, that would have been my attitude. But not just Ananias. All the other believers in Damascus had to develop that same type of faith. Otherwise, somebody would have assassinated Saul. Because Saul is now in a position where there's some Christians that don't like him and some Jews that hate him because he didn't do what he was sent there to do. But his faith was based on his encounter that he had with Jesus. How many of you in here have received Jesus Christ as Savior? Okay. So you've had an encounter with Jesus. Yeah. That should be all your faith needs. To be active. Do you believe that he went to hell in your place? Yes. Do you believe that because you're in Christ, you're going to spend eternity with God?
Yes.
How's that different than believing him for healing? How's that different than believing him to get out of a tough situation? How's that different? It's not. When you made that confession, did you think that it was going to happen 2 weeks later? No, you thought the minute you said it, you received salvation immediately. Well, that's the way you need to think about everything else that he said. That's what now faith is all about. Faith for me to get what God said is mine now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. At the present time or moment, faith. You ever need that? That's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you need some help? Sometimes you're in a place you need help now. Well, we have the without further delay immediate faith. Okay. That's being sure we'll get what we hope for. We always talk about how bad these times are, but we have in these present times faith, and that's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I like all of them, but I particularly like this one. The under the present or existing circumstance faith. That's the reality of what's hoped for. See, in these present times, in the midst of whatever it is you're going through now, you need to see the reality of what you're hoping for. You need to see that. And faith does that. Now faith has to be ready. It has to be active. It has to be able to handle anything, any circumstance that faces you, and do so right now. Right now. Everyone say, now faith is what I need. You believe that? Yes. Say it again, please.
Now faith is what I need.
Right now, faith. Right now, faith. Okay, you don't need it later. You need it right now. You don't need to turn it on. It should already be on and stay on. It's supposed to be active. And it's supposed to get stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where things happen just like Jesus. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. He knew. He knew what he was going to face. And when his body wouldn't cooperate, he called on his faith. And it was honest with God. This body doesn't want to do that. But not my will, your will. Oops, that didn't work. Okay, I'll say it again. Not my will, your will. I still feel the same way. Oh, say it again. Not my will, your will. He wasn't backing up off it. He didn't say, oh, well, I guess it's not God's will. Otherwise, I wouldn't feel this way. No, he maintained his faith. Even when they came, I shared this a couple of weeks ago. And Peter cut off the man's ear. Jesus picked it up and put it back in place. Said, right now I can call down more than 10 legions of angels. But then how will the scriptures be fulfilled? He had now faith. He had this circumstance looming in front of him. I can't imagine how it must have felt when you're going there, you're dragging this cross. And you look up and you already see two folks nailed up there, and there's a space in between them, and that space is for you. And you have the power to stop it. And you don't because God told you not to. And you so trust God that you go through with it because you know God's going to bring you through just like he said. So you don't care what you have to face. That's the way it was with the three Hebrew boys. They didn't care. They saw the furnace. And every time I think of that story, and I've told you this many times, I think of what had to be going through their mind when they saw the guards burn up. I mean, the guard throws in one, and they burn up. You're the second set of guards. I mean, you need to think about that. Because that will give you a clue as to how tyrannical Nebuchadnezzar was. These folks were so afraid of him that they just went on and knew they were going to get burned up anyway. Figured that was better than not doing what the king said. and have these three teenage boys that tell the king, we don't even have to think about this. We will not bow down. Throw me in the fire. Our God will deliver us. They didn't have to come. They didn't have to get together and say, what do you think? Do you think we should bow down? You know, I mean, after all, how can we serve God if we're dead? Right? So let's just get through this. And if we were wrong, well, we can always repent. God, he'll forgive us. No, they had to make a statement. They said, our God will deliver us. And I'll tell you something else. Even if he won't, I'm still not going to do it. I mean, that's... But see, that's the way we have to face circumstances. We have to look it right eye to eye and tell it, our God will deliver me. Period. And even if for whatever reason he decides not to, I'm still not giving in to you. Why not? That's not who I am. I'm just. I walk by faith. I don't walk by what I see in front of me. I walk based on what God told me concerning me, period. What if God's wrong? Excuse me while I laugh in your face. What if God's wrong? Well, see, we won't say it that way. We won't say, what if God's wrong? We'll say, what if I'm misinterpreting the scripture? What if that's not what the scripture meant? Did he really mean that? Yes, he did. Stop leaning to your own understanding, trying to figure it out. You cannot. So, well, how can it happen? Because he's God. That's why. Because he's God. Come on now. We can have a 15-year-old boy who reads a marquee and has enough faith to try and break into a church to talk to someone, not afraid of the consequences. And now because he did that, his entire life changed. And so did the atmosphere of his household. Did he know what he was doing? Probably not, but something was just leading him. Something was just telling him, go, it's going to be all right. He listened to it, and everything's all right. See, if you can envision faith as a person, and something rises up, and this person jumps out of you and just said, no, let's just keep going. Just keep going. Don't even pay any attention. Just keep going. Just walk through it like it's not even there. That's what faith does. It said, no, remember what God said. Remember what God showed you. Don't pay any attention to that. Just keep going. That's what it does. It gives substance to this word. Gives you something to hold on to and not let go until you're through and at the end, like I am right now. Now faith is. Okay? Now faith is. That's what I want you to go come away with tonight. Now faith is. It's right now, for this time, for this moment. And it needs to be there, ready to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for such a simple, simple word. Simple, simple concept. Powerful results. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us all throughout the day that we operate in now faith. So it doesn't matter what we will ever have to encounter, our faith will always be up to the task. Because now faith can't help but get stronger, because it's always active. It's like a muscle, it's always being worked. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Thank you, Lord, that our faith is going to be an inspiration to the folks in this area. It's going to be an inspiration. They're going to see our faith in action. And when they ask us, how did we do that? All we're going to say is, we walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Lord, for such a simple but profound message. In Jesus' name, amen.